Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Adaptable furniture, folding beds, BEO ratings, insulation, creating extra space in your home or apartment. It's an issue that many of us are faced with. So what's the best way to go about it all without adding on a large and expensive extension? Well, Dermot Bannon is here, the architect and presenter of Room to Improve. And if you have any questions, and we have a lot of them, but keep them coming in, WhatsApp us 0870 32 32 32. Hello, how
good
are
morning.
You?
I'm great. I'm
great
good.
To see you.
Thank you. It's nice to be in here.
Before we talk about all of the things I just mentioned, remind us of the Open Door event.
Okay. Well, actually, all of the things that you mentioned are the things that are overwhelming so many people at the moment. I've never been asked so many complicated questions. You know, when you go to the supermarket or you're in DIY stores, is the worst. That's when people have you as a captive audience when you're queuing up. But you know, heat pumps, underfloor heating, heat recovery systems, and people are getting really, really overwhelmed by design.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, for the last 21 years, been running the Simon Open Door event. It's raised €1.5 million for the Simon community. So basically, the idea behind it is that architects up and down the country give up their time for free in 1 hour slots. So you can book a 1 hour slot with an architect for €125, and it goes directly to the Simon community. There's no money goes anywhere else. All goes to the Simon community. It's running from the 7th until the 13th of April. And what I love about it is it's a chance for people who wouldn't ask a question. You know, they've got the burning question, and they save them all up for me in pubs and places like that. And then they ask you when you've had a couple of pints.
Dermot's trying to live his life.
Yeah. So now you have a chance. You can book an architect, and it's nationwide. So it's from Donegal the whole way down as far as Kerry and over as far as West. So there's architects in every single county taking part. But
you need to be quick, because every year I go onto the website and I just want to, you know, when we're covering or chatting to you or whatever, how is this thing doing? There's never a slot available. You have to be quick and book this.
You have to be quick if you want
now.
To get the slot in your county or in your town or in your village. But the beauty, I suppose, what COVID brought was online consultations.
Oh, you can do
so
it that way.
They never happened like that before. So if you are desperate to ask a couple of questions, and what's great is that, you know, for it, people don't feel guilty because they're giving the money to the Simon community. You can ask them about it. I've had people just come in and ask me about storage. And in the next consultation, an hour later, people have come in and asked me to design a house for them. So you go through the principles.
Do you know what? People might think, well, I'm not going to get much out of an hour. You might need any more than an hour.
An hour is plenty. I have designed a house for somebody in an hour. Like the basics of it, and kind of put them on the right track and said, okay, you're not thinking about shelter here. You've got an incredibly windy site. And they never thought of that. So they'll come in and they'll show you photographs of the site, and you see every single tree is practically at 45 degrees. And you think, is it? Oh yeah, you couldn't stand up there. So your house has got to all be about shelter. So it's enough time on a big project to give people the bones of what they should be looking out for, because people tend to go onto Instagram and onto Pinterest and into magazines, and they just go, I just want that, I want that, without actually looking what their site needs or what they need.
Or what they have already.
Exactly. So you can do an awful lot in an hour. You can put somebody on the right path.
We better tell people where to go now to book their slot. So it's RIAI.
SimonOpenDoor.ie. Yeah, it's long, isn't it?
It's long.
If you Google Simon, I'm saying this to everybody and I'll be killed because there is, if you Google Simon Open Door, it'll bring you straight there. So just think of the word Simon Community, Open Door, it'll bring you straight there.
But do it now.
Do it now.
I'm telling you, you'll be booked out.
And book a consultation.
Now, I want to talk to you about building and extensions because the costs have only been going one way.
Yeah.
So your message, I believe, is don't be looking at building on if you don't have to. Look at what you have already.
Yeah, I think we in Ireland have become a little bit obsessed with size and space.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the figures, the average house size in Ireland is 211 square metres. The average house size in Europe is 145 square metres. So that's taking all of the European countries from Romania right up to France. We are a little bit obsessed with having things bigger and having rooms for everything. People have very, very tight budgets, and they come into me and they bring me in all these photographs of these huge, big walk-in pantries. And I'm, you know, it's basically a press, guys. You know, we become a little bit seduced in our homes. It's a bit like,
and then you know, if you have something like that, you'll find things to put in it, won't you?
Rubbish. Yeah. Well, if you look at it, like the cost of building now is about 3,500 a square meter. So if you've got a 3 square meter pantry, that has cost you 10 grand to store cornflakes. You know, it's we've become a little bit obsessed with space, and I'm trying to get people to think cleverly about their houses and think cleverly about how they use their houses. Space is now costing a lot of money.
I wonder, is it, Dermot, I mean, you'll know this, is it more that we look to the Americans and the American style of doing houses and we don't look at the Europeans?
Or even for go the other way completely, go to the Japanese.
Yeah.
Like, their bedrooms become living rooms. You know, they put down mats in the evening time. They pull over screens. They live in tiny, tiny houses because the population of Japan is so big. They're all crammed together and they live these wonderful lives in these tiny houses that kind of unfold throughout the day. And, you know, the tatami mats, and they roll them out and that's your bed, and then it comes back in again and there's a couch in there. So I do, yeah. And America is huge, and anybody who's travelled through America knows that one thing they do have is space. And we are constantly looking at the American houses, and we watch them on TV, and they have the space to build big. We don't. We're a small European country, and we should, you know, we should be looking the other way. We should be looking west to where they do things a little bit more efficiently. And I think, like, for example, people are, because they're working from home now, they're building home offices, and then there might be two people in the house and they're putting in two home offices, but they're generally not working from home the same days because people split it up.
So you don't need the two offices?
No, or they want to, oh, my mum comes up, you know, every second month and she stays for the weekend. And you think, well, are you working when she's here? No. So maybe, you know, there could be a fold-out bed in that, or the, just to start to think about, can spaces be a little bit more flexible?
And I don't want someone looking in through the window at me.
Yeah.
But you see, I've seen you on Room to Improve. You can solve that. You can have the window facing in the direction of the neighbours, but you don't have to have it so that they can see you.
No, little screens. Or it's one example of a house we did on the last series, and they entertain like three or four times a year, like most average families, Easter, Christmas, and you might have 10 people around. You don't need a 10-seater dining table all year round. So we created a games room for the kids because the kids' stuff was everywhere. And then the big pool table turned into a massive big dining table for the three times of the year that you need it. So rather than taking up space in the kitchen for a massive big dining table, we gave them back a living space. So it's just thinking through where what can be used for something else and when can be used for it. Just think cleverly about this, because if space is a premium, use it wisely. And I was kind of, write out your day, what do you do, what are your priorities, and if you can get the top five of those done, you're doing really well.
Right, but for you, the cost needs to be front of mind now. You want the walk-in wardrobe, but you know, you must know it's going to cost you 10,000 to 15,000.
And what are you storing? How many clothes can you actually wear?
Yeah.
You know, do you work in movies? Do you need to have the whole wardrobe there? Mm-hmm. You know, we do tend to store an awful lot of stuff. We're hoarders as a nation, and there's people, I've gone to their houses and they have walk-in wardrobes and they're jam-packed and crammed full, and some of the stuff, they haven't seen them for 6 or 7 years. They didn't even know it was in there.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of decluttering and kind of the amount of stuff that we're storing. If you think about it, €3,500 per square metre, is it that important to you?
Retrofitting.
Getting
your house up to an A rating. I mean, that's what everyone wants to do.
Well, that's a really important thing. I suppose it's a big topic at the moment, and there's grants available for it. But like, that's keeping you warm. That's taking your house off fossil fuels. That's your living environment. That's making the house warm and cozy. That for me is number one. Like, I'd rather a warm and cozy house than a walk-in wardrobe any day.
Right, but there's a cost factor. I mean, you are going to get grants, but
you are going to get grants,
free.
And we were filming one yesterday actually, and I don't know if I can give too much away.
Oh, go on.
Look at you with your big smile on you. Give it away, Bannon.
I missed the program on Sunday nights. It's my little treat.
But it's a house that's old, but it's not that old, and the cost of getting it up to an A rating is nearly prohibitive, and it's even with all the grants, it's the builder's works that's associated. So if you have to internally insulate a house, you have to replace all the skirting boards, the architraves, the doors, your kitchens, your bathrooms. So you might be just putting insulation on the walls.
It's giving me chills, you know.
Whereas that's a no-brainer when it comes to a 1960s or a 1970s house that you move into, and you're going to do all that work anyway if you're going to replace the kitchen. But for houses that are relatively, it's worth looking at the options and getting in somebody to talk about, like maybe pumping the walls or external insulation, stuff that doesn't require you to rip everything out inside. It might be a better way for newer houses, but then you have to consider, is there brick on the outside? You don't want to cover up the brick. So I think it is worth just talking to an expert when you're looking at that, because some of the knock-on effects of drylining a house can actually push it into a realm where it's just, is it worth doing this? You know, will we save that much on our electricity bills? Is it going to be that much more comfortable? Because there's the altruistic way of looking at it, that what we really want to do is get everybody off oil burners and gas burners. burners in their homes because and get them onto electricity, which is cleaner and more sustainable.
Now, the other thing I wanted to ask you about was that big story in the news recently about putting the cabin into the garden.
Yeah.
Which would help solve the housing problem.
Yeah.
According to the minister, this might be one way of doing it. What do you think?
Okay. First, fundamentally, I think if we start into that, we've failed our young people. I think we've failed as a nation. Mm. If we're reliant on putting log cabins or temporary accommodation into a back garden, basically living in sheds, we failed. We're done.
But for some people who are now, living three generations in a house meant for one generation.
Yeah, but then build a proper house. Build a, you know, it's all about units, temporary, lifting them in, cabins, you know, cheap. Like, none of that is creating communities, nice places to live, a nice street to live on, you know, opening your front door and having neighbours. Like, the quality of life is not just about having a bedroom, a living room and a kitchen. Mm-hmm. Quality of life is about where you live, who your neighbours are, the chat for 10 minutes in the morning as you're going out to get into your car or put out your bins. It's the part. And I think, like, if there is areas with long back gardens, maybe there needs to be a proposal where you take all of the back gardens and you build a muse house in it, and then you create a street on the back of it, and then you create a proper entrance to the street. You know, it's, houses are not just about units and somewhere to lay your head. It's your life. It's where you live.
But I suppose it's a sign of where we are, you know, desperate times.
But no, and it's not desperate. We have to reimagine ourselves as a country. We are in an emergency, but there has to be a bigger and better solution to this. Mm-hmm. Like, if we give in to all of this, it's a bit like, I went to school in a porch cabin, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a long time ago now. That porch cabin is still there.
Yeah.
That was put in as temporary accommodation. If we start putting temporary solutions in for housing all over this country, it never shifts.
It'll be
there
in 30 years' time.
And 50 years' time and more. Yeah, so we need to... I do agree with increasing densities. And, you know, that some of our gardens are very big, and do we really need to, like, we do need to shove up in the bed and have more people living in our cities. That's what we all want. We want to because cities then bring more opportunities for employment, and they bring more opportunities for culture and theatres and cinemas and comedy clubs and music venues. So we do need to do that in Ireland.
Dermot, I have to come to questions because we have so many of them coming in. You won't be surprised to hear. I have 22-year-old PVC windows. Is it possible to upgrade triple glaze using the same frame?
It's probably not worth it, because what people don't realise with the windows is that most of your cold is transmitted actually through the frame. So if you've got a really old frame, think about old aluminium windows. Like, you're not going to put triple glazing into that because the cold is all coming in through the frame. PVC as well is kind of generally formed in a factory, so you can't really widen it out to make it wider for triple. So my answer to that would be no.
Start again. Okay, yeah. Julie is starting a renovation on a 100-year-old stone-built house.
Yes.
What insulation methods should she use?
Yeah, and I've seen so many old houses ruined by using the wrong insulation, because an old house, an old stone house, or even an old brick house, a Victorian house, they're all, they're built like one big solid wall. So a new house has got, we've all heard of cavity walls, right? And with a cavity wall, you get a break in the middle. That means that cold and damp doesn't normally go across the cavity. With an old house, a stone built house, they were designed 150, 200 years ago really, really well. They used big stones, and they also used lime in the middle of it. So you've often heard of lime plaster, lime mortar going through it. The lime allowed that wall to breathe. So if the wall got wet from the outside, the heat from the inside dried out the lime, and it worked really, really well. As soon as you put up modern plasterboard or gypsum or any kind of a sealant onto the inside, it stops it working. And it means that that's how you get damp. And then the damp goes to the inside of the walls and then starts to climb to all the timber and it rots the floors. We did one on Room to Improve. God, it must be going back 10 years ago now. And somebody had badly insulated an old building. And by the time we took off all the insulation, nearly every piece of timber in that house was rotten, right up to the roof. So what you have to do is you have to use a breathable insulation. And there's things like diatonite, which is a lime plaster with cork mixed into it, which is brilliant because that has huge insulating property. So just talk to some experts. You need to get expert advice on what to use in that. But you need to use a breathable insulation on an old building.
Be careful.
Yeah.
Be Cúramach. Can you ask Dermot about putting on a porch extension to a small three-bed semi-detached house southeast facing at the front of the house? It gets a lot of rain and sun. So the questions are, do I need planning? Do I need an architect? And what's it going to cost?
A small, tiny porch doesn't need planning. I think it's under 1.5 square metres or 2 square metres. But it sounds to me like they want to sit in it. They want to put a porch onto the front of their house to enjoy the sunshine. So with that, you will need planning, because it's going to, if you're going to get a couple of armchairs into it. I think that's what they're asking, because it looks like they're putting it on to get the sun.
Yeah,
they said, and they mentioned the rain as well, which is a bit odd.
Porch extension. See, we're not sure.
No. But OK, so if they're asking about planning permission, I'm not sure exactly how many square metres it is, but I think it's relative. But you can put a small little porch onto the front of your house without planning permission. But if you're starting to turn it into a sunroom or something like that, it does need planning permission.
OK. Yeah. And the cost, I'm not sure. I mean, we don't know what size it is. But
exactly. So about 3 to 3,500 euros per square metre.
OK, but going back to what you said earlier, you might need that.
You might. Well, I often think people who put sunrooms onto their house are conservatories, and they're trying to create a room that has nice light. I'm a little bit more interested in, could you turn one of the rooms that you use every day? Mm. Could you put a bigger window into it? Could you, you know, if your kitchen's at the back of the house and it's dark and there's an unused front room, a good sitting room, and you're then putting a porch onto the front to go and sit in, would you not maybe move the kitchen into the room where the light is?
Those things tend to be, now maybe not now, but years ago they were like boiling hot in the summer and absolutely freezing.
Great for drying clothes. Yeah. That's about it. Yeah, conservatories, no, there's no, unless you're growing tomatoes, because that's what they were designed for. Like,
oh, look at my time. You know, a lot of the questions are about retrofitting.
Okay.
Everybody is focused.
So you,
on
do you know
this,
what they
right?
need to do? They need to sign up to RIAI, simonopendoor.ie. And because we did a training workshop last week on it, so everybody is geared up to answer all your questions on retrofitting. And it is the biggest ones, because people are talking about heat recovery, all of these things that they're over. Do you remember years ago that ad, I don't know what a tracker mortgages.
Yeah.
People are now saying, I don't know what a heat pump is. How does it work? Should I put it in?
We're all there. We're all there. But do it now. Sign
do
up
it now.
Open Door now, because the slots will be gone and you have been warned.
You have.
Dermot, thank you so much.
Thanks,
Lovely
Claire.
To see you as always. Dermot Bannon.